Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
Hello and welcome to Rangers Blue Line. Brian Compton and Adam Rotter here with you. We're going to speak with Justin Pash, the Rangers beat reporter from the Daily News, in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about what appears to be a first-round playoff matchup against the Montreal Canadiens. Adam, how are you?
I'm doing well, Brian. How are you?
A little bit better than Ryan McDonagh. They obviously never disclosed what this injury is. He's not going to play Wednesday night against the Caps. Who knows if he's going to play this weekend? I guess the main thing is that he's healthy once the playoffs roll around next week.
I mean, definitely. He's easily the Rangers' most important skater, so they need him at 100%. These games don't mean anything, but I think he's going to have to get in one of the games over the weekend, probably Sunday, maybe Saturday against Ottawa. Might be an easier matchup, just because you don't want him to go in on, 10 days, 2 weeks of rust into game one of the playoffs. That's really what the Rangers have to figure out, is which one of these two games, if McDonagh is even healthy, should he get into?
Yeah, that's the thing, because if he's gonna play with Dan Girardi, they're gonna have to rely heavily on McDonagh once the playoffs roll around, and he's gonna carry the load on that pairing. And to go in cold into the playoffs with Dan Girardi could be a nightmare, right?
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like it's the right thing to do. I mean, the Rangers are saying all the right things about McDonagh. Oh, that he's been close and they thought he was going to play last week. But, he's going to have to shoulder a huge load against Pacioretty and Radulov. And he's going to have to kill penalties and play on the power play. And like you're saying, he's going to have to make up for some of Dan Girardi's shortcomings. The Rangers, not just against Montreal, but in any series, they're going to need Ryan McDonagh at close to 100%. And that 100% isn't just health. It means that he doesn't have to spend the first 20 minutes of game one next week kicking all the rust off.
How about the forwards here, Adam? Nash, Zuccarello, Fast. It sounds like more just bumps and bruises, like AV said. But they've got to figure out what their line combinations are going to be come playoff time.
I'll tell you this. If Matt Zuccarello is playing with bumps and bruises, I can't imagine how good he's going to be playing at 100% with how good he was over the weekend. I mean, he's turned it on again. Nash is always going through something, but he plays through it. But yeah, I mean, I think that you're going to see Jimmy Vesey probably end up in a top nine role. I don't think you're going to see Buchnevich play in the playoffs, at least to start. I think we are going to see Tanner Glass, and the Rangers will have to figure out which guys fit where, and where does ice cold Rocket Richard Michael Grabner go for the time being? do you keep him where he is, hope that he or someone else is able to convert on those chances, or do you move him down to the fourth line like we've talked about in the past and give someone else like a VC more ice time?
The Stepan Kreider Zuccarello line has been so good. You said obviously Zuccarello's played so well, so that line should be okay come playoff time. Hopefully Zuccarello's okay, but what's going on with Kevin Hayes, Adam? He has not contributed at all. It's crazy.
He hit a wall. I mean, he had been playing. I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago. I felt like him and JT Miller were probably playing above their heads a little bit with all the points they were getting and all the chances they were converting on. Like, Kevin Hayes has had a really good year, but I think it was unsustainable to a degree. Miller's been a little bit more up and down, where he's here one night, he's not the next. Hayes has been struggling lately, and I think he's just kind of hit some sort of a wall that, as a third-year player, I'm not really sure. I guess it's still a learning process for him, after last year, being such an up-and-down year and being scratched in December. I guess he probably considers this to be really his second full season after last year was kind of, I don't want to say a throwaway year, but it was definitely a strange year for him.
Zibanejad and Nash, they've really found some chemistry there, Adam. Buchnevich, VC, somebody's got to take that role. I'm thinking it's going to be VC, even though he really hasn't contributed much offensively, one goal in his last 21 games. AV's got to find a home for Jimmy VC. I can't imagine he's going to watch these playoff games from the press box. They really need him to contribute, and hopefully it's on that line with Zibanejad and Rick Nash.
Yeah, I think that's where VC's probably going to start, unless they put JT Miller there and they put VC on the third line with Hayes and either Grabner or Jesper Foss. But yeah, I don't see a situation where VC's sitting. I think he's more polished and ready than someone like Buchnevich. You could see him contribute. He can do those things like we've always said about Rick Nash. Like, you could notice VC on the ice if he's not contributing. Obviously, you want him to contribute and you want him to score, whereas Buchnevich, he's really still learning this North American game and being in North America, and I think he's much more likely to sit out than VC is.
Adam, as we talked about many times over the course of the year, VC kind of hit a wall there. One goal in his last 21 games. We knew he was going to hit that wall, but you're kind of hoping now that he can find his game come playoff time, and I don't think he can do it in a bottom six role. I think he's got to play with Zibanejad and Nash.
I agree. I think that he had been much more noticeable over the past few weeks, and obviously he was scratched last Friday. But, you know, he's a guy who's going to I think he's a guy who's going to surprise, and I think he's going to have a few playoff moments. He seems like someone who, you know, can rise to the occasion, and he could be a guy that, you know, 1-1, 10 minutes left in the third, he gets thrown out there with Zibanejad and Nash. He finds a goal, and, you know, he has his first real – or he has a first real playoff moment as a Ranger. I think he's going to have a good playoff. I don't know why I think that, but I think he's going to end up surprising a lot of people and really elevating expectations for how he's going to be next year.
Yeah, I think he can too, Adam. Again, I think it matters who he's playing with. If he's in a fourth line role, there's no way he can contribute the way we think that he can. And the same thing with Buchnevich. He's not a fourth line player, Adam, and it's crazy to think that he's going to be in that role come playoff time. Who plays on the fourth line? Do you? I was thinking about this before we came on. Do you put Brandon Peary in that role? I know you probably are shaking your head, but you know, he can contribute on special teams. He's got that shot on the power play. We know how crucial special teams are in the playoffs. I think he can fill that role a little bit better than a guy like Tanner Glass. What do you think?
I think that if you're gonna go purely with, you know, the offensive threat on the fourth line for special teams reasons, I think it has to be Peary, because Peary's the one guy who he can, you know, Buchnevich and even Pumple can make differences offensively, but Peary's a guy who's just he's going to fire the puck. He's going to do one thing and one thing only, and that can be the difference in a game, especially on the power play. It's just a matter of, do you trust him enough defensively to play him key minutes when, you know, you're probably going to want to roll four lines, or do you think that you've got eight or nine offensive forwards that you can afford to really kind of sacrifice one spot for Tanner Glass, you know, with some of these grittier guys that Montreal picked up?
Yeah, you know, I think they have enough forwards who can play well enough in their own end. So that's why I think Peary makes more sense than a guy like Tanner Glass. There's not a lot of bruising forwards in Montreal. I don't think this is going to be one of those series where there's going to be a fight a game or anything along those lines. It's going to be a speed game, which helps the Rangers for sure. And I think Peary helps them more than Glass does.
I agree. I think, you know, but at the same time, I didn't even remember Brandon Peary was on the team. He hasn't played in 3 months. You know, he's playing tonight, and he'll presumably, I would guess he's going to play in at least one of the last two games if he doesn't get into all three of the final games. But yeah, if he ends up putting in a couple of power play goals, I think that he'll really make the coaching staff think, okay, well, we really have to give this guy a chance, and maybe it's best to maybe get Buchnevich in one game so he understands what it's like to play in the playoffs, but overall kind of shut him down for the season to a degree, because, you know, it's a lot for him to take in for the whole year.
Before we get to Justin, real quick, Adam, the Rangers finally won a game on home ice against Philadelphia, which was huge. Montreal has not been a kind place to the Rangers in recent years. They've got to figure out these woes on home ice. They're going to have any success at all come playoff time.
It's a weird thing because it's the Rangers are struggling on home ice. They're great on the road, but they're horrible in Montreal. So there's all these different factors converging. So, you know, they have to figure out how to play better at home ice. They need to manage the puck well on home ice, and they need to be able to defend the lead. And then, you know, they were able to exercise those Montreal demons in the playoffs a few years ago. Maybe it's just a regular season Rangers-Montreal thing where, you know, October to April, they just can't do it. But early April, I should say. But, you know, post-mid-April, maybe they find their way.
Joining us now on Rangers Blue Line is the Rangers beat reporter from the Daily News, Justin Tash. Justin, Brian Compton here. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for joining me here. I really appreciate it. We're trying to figure out what's going on with these injuries. Ryan McDonough obviously not going to play Wednesday night against Washington. Do you see him playing one of these games this weekend before the playoffs roll around?
You know, if he gets to 100%, maybe. But, you know, if there's any question whatsoever about his health, they think, you know, that he needs an extra day or so, then there's really no reason to risk it. I mean, he's, you know, outside of Henrik Lundqvist, he's their most important player. So, you know, the top priority should be keeping him as close to 100% as possible heading into the first round next week. So, you know, if they want to play it cautious, they certainly can't be blamed for doing so. Same goes for the other guys who are not going to play against Washington tonight, Rick Nash, Matt Burrell, and Jesse Bach.
Justin, what's the thought process as far as McDonough's defense partner goes? Obviously, he's played with a bunch of different guys this year. Brady Shea's been great. You could always throw those two together unless you want more balance, which is obviously something Havy's considering. Will it ultimately be Dan Girardi? Do you think it's going to be somebody else?
You know, that's been a big question hanging over Vigneault in the defense corps for the last little while now. I mean, you know, since Girardi and Klein came back into the fold, you know, it seems that AV tends to go back to McDonough and Girardi. He seems to trust them together. He seems to trust Dan in that spot with his experience. But he has a very tough decision to make. You know, who's gonna be the odd man out come game one next week? You know, Nick Holden to me has been struggling for a while now. But you know, I think Vigneault, I don't know if Vigneault would sit him. He seems to think he's pretty dependable. He's played every game this year, so it's an interesting predicament he finds himself in. You know, he tried Brendan Smith in that spot for a couple of games. I'm not sure if he would put Brady there. As you alluded to, I think that it's probably better if they have them separate. Get a little more balance, but if I had to guess, my guess would be that he goes back with McDonough and Girardi heading into game one.
Are you surprised at just how good Brady Shea has been all season long? I mean, this is what a leap this kid has taken for the Rangers this year.
You know, I don't know if I would say surprised. I mean, he showed a lot to me last year in the playoff series, just how confident he was for, you know, a guy who I guess was 22 at the time. And, you know, he's always had great skating ability. I mean, that was obvious from the get-go. But, you know, maybe I didn't think he would be quite this good, but he's certainly been, I mean, he's their second-best defenseman right now. I don't think there's any question about that. And, he's an extremely important player for them right now. And, you know, he's been getting more minutes with McDonough out, and Vigneault said the other day that it's reasonable to expect that Shea would get more minutes heading into the playoffs, and, you know, I think he absolutely should be getting as many minutes as possible. You know, he's tremendous with the puck, good passer, helping out the power play. So he's an incredibly important player for them right now, and they're going to need him playing at a high level.
Henrik Lundqvist is going to play tonight against Washington, and then I guess he'll play one game over the weekend here before the playoffs start. How are you feeling about his game heading into the playoff series? Had some ups and downs this year, but the Rangers are going to need him to be 100% on top of his game against the Canadiens.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's nothing of greater importance, you know, aside from health, than having Henrik Lundqvist playing on the top of his game. You know, if they are still experiencing some of the lulls that they've had in their defensive zone recently, you know, he has the ability when he's on his game, obviously, to steal a game in the playoffs for them. And, you know, I think the past couple of games, he's definitely on the ascent. You know, he obviously missed time with that strained hip muscle. First couple of games, he was noticeably rusty. And, you know, that San Jose game, he was really down on himself afterward. He lamented the fact that he couldn't come up with that extra save, especially when the Rangers took the lead in that game. But there's no doubt that the last couple of games he's been much better. He's been much sharper. He looks more confident, seems more efficient in his movements. He's been making some really impressive saves. So I think he's rounding into form, and that's obviously a great sign for the Rangers.
Let's talk about the forwards here a little bit, Justin. We know that Stepan Kreider and Zuccarello are aligned. They've been really good as of late for sure. Zibanejad and Nash have some chemistry, but who's going to play on that other side? I was talking with Adam before you came on here. I'm thinking it's going to be Jimmy Vesey. I know he hasn't played well, at least offensively, one goal in his last 21. But you have to think if he gets a chance to play with Zibanejad and Nash, he can refine his scoring touch here.
Yeah, that's another interesting predicament Vigneault has right now. I mean, he tried JT Miller in that spot a little bit, but it looks like he wants to get that Grabner, Hayes, Miller trio back going together again. It looks like they're going to play together tonight. So, VZ is certainly a possibility. You know, whether or not Buchnevich is in the lineup for game one, I could see him being a possibility there. But aside from, you know, the one game that Jimmy scratched recently, I mean, AV seems to trust VZ. You know, he's played, that was the first time he scratched all year. And, you know, a guy who's coming out of NCAA, only played, you know, I think it was 33 games last year, is still finding a way to, you know, be skating pretty well this late in the season. And, you know, AV likes the fact that he's, you know, he said he's very reliable, coachable, young guy. So I could definitely see him getting that spot, depending on how things shake out with, you know, injuries and so forth, and whether or not Buchnevich plays. But VZ could definitely be in that spot.
Last one before I let you go here, Justin. Thanks again for your time. I appreciate it. How are you feeling about this Rangers group going into the playoffs? Obviously, they're going into the right bracket here, which, considering how good the Metropolitan Division has been, Montreal hasn't been kind to them in seasons past, as we talked about. But how do you feel about this Rangers team going into the playoffs? Can they go on a deep run?
You know, if it's going to happen, they're certainly going to have to shore some things up defensively. You know, and they look better against the Flyers, although they made it interesting there at the end with the 6-on-5 situations. But, you know, it's going to be a tough test against Montreal, assuming that, you know, they don't end up in this crazy tiebreaker scenario with Columbus for the rest of the game. But, and obviously, you know, going up there, that building, Carey Price, I mean, you know, Montreal's playing really well. They went 0-2-1 against Montreal this season. So it's certainly going to be a tough pass. But, you know, it certainly is personally, I would rather take my chance against them than any of the teams above them in Metro right now. And, you know, are they capable of making a deep run? If they're playing at their best, if all their guys are playing at the top level, it's possible. Yeah, I think it's possible. Whether it happens, I don't know if I'm willing to go that far. And the interesting thing is, you know, they want to be playing well over these last three games, but they're also balancing, you know, resting guys who are got some bumps and bruises. And, you know, Vigneault said he also wants to get in a couple of the guys have been scratched a lot just so they get a game in case they are needed in the playoffs at some point. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see exactly where they're at after Sunday as far as their overall performance is concerned. But, you know, definitely they need to shore some things up defensively. If they do that, then, you know, they can definitely compete.
You're going to need all hands on deck for sure. Justin, thanks a lot for your time. I really appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, no problem. Take care.
Thanks again to Justin Tash. You can follow him on Twitter at @J_Tash. Adam, it looks like it's going to be the Montreal Canadiens. I know there's still one way that the Rangers can play into that 2-3 bracket in the Metropolitan Division. I don't think that would suit them very well. So looks like it's going to be Montreal. It's a team that has not been very kind to them, as we said. The Bell Center has been a house of horrors for these guys, but at the end of the day, I think it's the best way for the Rangers to go on a deep playoff run.
Yeah, I think it's the only way. I mean, you don't want to go in there first round, have to deal with the Penguins again or the Blue Jackets. And, you know, Montreal's a good team. They're certainly deserving of winning their division, but I think that they're probably on par with the Rangers. Maybe Montreal's a tiny bit better, certainly defensively, than the Rangers are. But I think to me, when I look at the Rangers and the idea of making a deep run this year, and I look at the Penguins this way too, it's like nothing would surprise me. If the Rangers lose in the first round, you could say, okay, well, you know, they couldn't defend and this and that. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up in the Eastern Conference Finals, because they're capable and talented enough to do that. So it's just something where you know, you have to see which Rangers team is going to show up. Are you going to be the fast team that managed the puck well and scored at will? Or are you going to be the team that can't make a pass, turns it over, and is giving up two-on-ones on every other shift?
Yeah, if they're going to make the conference final, and I agree with you, I think they're certainly capable of doing that, this is the way to go. This is the bracket that's going to get them there without question. I mean, if they can get past the Canadiens, I think the chances of getting all the way to the conference final are pretty damn good, because Carey Price is the wild card here, Adam, as you know. I mean, this is one of the best goalies in the league. Doesn't mean the Rangers can't beat them. They obviously need Lundqvist to be on top of his game. But I think they match up against these guys pretty well. The defense has to be good, as we know. They still have to sort out who's going to play with whom on that blue line. I think Girardi's going to get the first crack with McDonough. Hopefully Ryan's good to go come next week. But player for player, I like the Rangers' chances here.
I think it's a really even matchup. And
yeah,
with Montreal, I really think this is a series where you can already see that it's game six at the Garden without even playing the first five. Like, you know it's going through at least game six. You know that the Rangers are probably going to get shut out in a couple of games because of Price. And they're probably going to put up six goals in another game, and no one's going to know how to read anything. And it's just going to be a really evenly matched series with two teams that are fast, two teams that want to play good defense, one team that usually does play good defense, and one team that doesn't. And then you've got two excellent goalies. So I think it's going to be a lot of low-scoring games and probably one game each for the other team to just blow out the other one. Like, I see Radulov getting like 15 points in one game just because. And then going cold the rest of the series, and Jesper Fast having a 5-point game or something. Like, it's going to be a really evenly matched series, I think.
Who's the wild card for the Rangers up front? For me, I think it's Vesey. I think he should play with Zibanejad and Nash, like we talked about. I agree with you that I think he can get going playing with those two guys. If he doesn't get going, I think it puts a lot more pressure on a guy like Rick Nash. They need more from Zibanejad for me, without a doubt. Looks like they finally have this top line going here, but it can't just be all about the top line. They have to have all hands on deck up front.
I agree with you, but at the same time, I say that the Rangers' biggest X factor is the guy who's going to have the big X on his back, and that's number 20, Chris Kreider.
No doubt.
Is he going to, you know, feel comfortable enough to go towards the net? Is he going to, without fear of batteries being thrown at him in the first two games? You know, he's a guy who's had a really good year. He's scored a lot around the net. If he's going to, you know, be able to get the puck and go to the net, I still think he's going to be, I think he's the biggest X factor. And I think he's a guy, like I was saying with VC, who could take a real step up in the playoffs this year and really cement his role where he is on the team.
Yeah, Kreider has to be fearless, Adam. He really does. Like, he can't worry about what the fans are going to think or what's happened in the past. We know what happened back in 2014 when he ran over Price and ended Price's season ultimately. But he's got to be the player that can score 30 goals over the course of the year, play with speed, be that power forward. If he's not, the Rangers are in a whole lot of trouble.
And I think he will be. But it's a matter of, you know, he's going to say all the right things and do all the right and, you know, act the right way. But then, you know, we've seen Kreider before. In past years, you know, he'll shy away from the net sometimes. He'll be a little invisible at times. And I don't think it's going to happen this time. I think he is going to go to the net, and I think it's going to be highly, very intense situation 3 minutes into game one when he's got a breakaway coming in on Carey Price and everyone in Montreal is about to storm the ice in case something happens. But I think he's the guy, you know, his whole line needs to get going. And like you were saying, The Rangers were so good at the beginning of the year because they won as a team. And that's the only way that they're going to win in the playoffs. They're going to need four lines to contribute. They're going to need Rick Nash to get going. They're going to need Zibanejad and Hayes will pick up his game. And they're going to need, like, you know, they're going to need the weird random goal from a Nick Holden or a Brendan Smith to really, like, put them over in a game or two. Like, you're going to need different guys on different nights to really step up.
Amen, brother. All hands on deck. Three games to go in the regular season. We will break down the first round further early next week. Adam, thanks for everything. Thanks to Justin Cash. We'll see you next week.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.